I would like to talk about seven very important things. And when, well, I say they're important because I got them in the Bible, and so that makes them important. And this list is not all-inclusive. I'm sure there are other things that are very important. But from God's perspective, I want to look at seven very important things. Now, if it's important to me, it may not be all that important. But if it's important to God, it is very important. I want to echo that again, that we find God in His Word. And God tells us how to live. He tells us, and I'm so thankful for that. And what God gives direction for, we're just so much better off when we just take it and do it and live it. So I want to look at seven very important things. And the first one is found in John 3, verse 3. The first very important thing, the only way to see the kingdom of God is to be born from above. Now, I know that's a long, long first point, isn't it? The only way to see the kingdom of God is to be born again, or to be born from above. Jesus answered, this was Nicodemus he was talking to, and said unto him, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, thee, except unless a man be born again, literally from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, our first birth, Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. He said, well, I need to be enter my mother's womb another time and be born for what you're talking about. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. See, the first birth, we were born here. The second birth is from above. The first birth was an earthly birth. The second one is a birth from heaven. And this is for every one of us. Unless you repent. Luke 13, 3 is where there were some, there's some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, I tell you, unless you repent, unless every one of us repent, you will always, likewise perish. And Jesus said, or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. Siloam was a pool where the water came in. Hezekiah had changed the course of the water to bring it into the city, and it made the pool. And there was a tower there. And I don't know all the history behind that, but evidently a tower fell and killed 18 people. And Jesus said, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And then what does he say? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So this is very important that we're born from above. Repent. Turn around from the way we were going. Live for God, not for ourselves. You see, when you were born on the earth, your earthly birth, it was all about self. And when we come to realize that this isn't the way of Christ, and we give our life to Him, this birth from above, we realize, well, we need to live for Jesus. And in living for Jesus, we live for others. That's the second birth. And I believe that it's the test of Christianity. Now, remember, we got the tops of our heart off, and we're asking God to look in and search us. And I believe the test of Christianity is whether our focus is on ourself or is it on Christ. Do we want to portray us? Do we want to protect us? Do we think about us and how I need the fair shakes in life and I need whatever everybody else is going to get or more, and Or is our focus really on Christ, how to please Him? Life becomes so simple when our main drive in life is to please Jesus and to live for Him. It answers so many questions. And until that happens, there is no set of rules that will bring you into a right relation with God. So the test of Christianity is whether we have a focus on ourselves or on Christ. And when a focus is on Christ means that we have been born from above. And God is still calling to repentance. He's still calling us today. And I believe that, you know, almost all adults here probably have repented. But I do believe there are times that we realize and we hang our heads in shame and realize, you know what, I've been living for myself way too much, way too conscious of self and not nearly conscious enough of living for Christ. Well, Jesus said, unless we're born from above, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's a very important thing. Number two, Matthew 23:26. And this very important thing, I call it first, clean the inside of the cup. Do you think that's important? Let's see what Jesus said. He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, "You blind Pharisee." You know why the Pharisee was blind? It's because he was trying to clean up the outside of the cup. And he wasn't concerned with the inside of the cup. And he said, first, clean the inside of the cup. Clean that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You see, it'd be very possible to have this clean on the outside and filthy on the inside. And so Jesus said, first, clean up the inside. It's very important. And only you know everything that's inside of your cup. You know, our heart is kind of like a cup with a lid on it. And there can be a lot of things there that passerbys don't see. Jesus said, you first get it clean on the inside. And you see, sometimes we humans, we like to cover up that dirt that's on the inside, and we put on nice, beautiful, clean, pressed dresses and shirts, and we come to church and we look so nice. That's just human nature. Before we take communion, I'm telling you that Jesus said, first, make sure that the inside is clean. And when that's clean, you'll be able to get the whole cup clean. Until then, the whole cup won't be clean. It can't be clean until the inside is done. Why wouldn't we want to clean up that inside? Romans 2:16 says that one day God is going to judge the secrets of your heart. Those things that you thought nobody knew about. That you thought that only you knew what had happened or what you did or where you went or what's on your phone or a thousand other things. But one day, the secrets of our hearts are going to be opened by Christ. All the secrets will be revealed. So why wouldn't we want to get that inside cleaned up? I want to tell you, I just remind you of something you already know, but living for God is much more than just being a member and working it right so that you come and take communion. There have been people that thought, if I can take communion, that shows that everything is right. No, it doesn't show that everything. It shows everything should be right. But to know that everything is right is something you need to do. From way down in your heart, just open the top of your heart, let Christ look in. and clean up the inside of the cup. Living for God is much more than being a member and taking communions. You see, the Pharisees were doing outward things. They were hiding things on the inside. And Jesus said, first clean up the inside. Very important. Number three, an important thing. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. We probably know that one pretty much by memory. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. More important than working and getting enough money to buy food and to buy clothing, more important than all that, is seeking first the kingdom of God, putting God's kingdom ahead of everything else. Everything else in life coming under the subjection of Christ's kingdom. It's not optional. And every person must decide for yourself. How many times we've wished that we could decide for our children, but we can't. This is a personal decision and a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? We think of our business, our work, our everything. Is seeking God more important? Number four, important, very important thing. Jesus said, I want you to learn what it means about mercy instead of sacrifice. And that's in Matthew 12, verse 7. Learning what it means to have mercy instead of sacrifice. So here he was quoting. Jesus just told him, if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And he was quoting from Hosea, the 6th chapter, where Israel had gone away from God, and he said, Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy, steadfast love. That's what mercy is. I desired steadfast love and not sacrifice. Isn't it better if we have a steadfast love and follow Christ with all our hearts rather than doing wrong and say, well, I'm sorry, and it's better just to have steadfast love all along. And God wants this, is to have this steadfast love. And rather, yeah, we go through, do what's right, and just go through the motions. You see, the disciples were hungry. What brought this on? The disciples were only walking through a wheat field, and evidently it was almost time of harvest, and the head was up. And I enjoy doing that in our wheat fields, go through and pull a head and thrash it out and eat the wheat. Well, you see, that's all they had done. But they did it on the wrong day. Another time when Jesus told the Pharisees, quoted this same scripture to him, he was eating in somebody's house that they didn't think he ought to be eating in. He said, if you would know what it means, I will have mercy. I want steadfast love and not sacrifice, not just going through the motions. Do you understand? Much more than just, do I need to say it again, just being a member. Doing, keeping certain rules, making sure that others are impressed. More than that, I want you to have a steadfast love where God is the focus of your heart, where you live for Him and you want to show His goodness to the world. Jesus is saying we need a steadfast love in our heart for God and a reverence for Him. And when we do that, then we can determine right from wrong. You see, that's where the Pharisees missed it. A head of wheat thrashed between two hands, and they were condemning the person. They couldn't even see through that. You see, they had their focus on a set of rules that they had made. And when we have our heart set on God, when we have a steadfast love for Him, then and then only can we look at the situations in life and make a godly decision and see the difference between right and wrong. I believe that if we have steadfast love in our hearts, it makes a difference in our congregation. Excuse me. Don't you think if we have a steadfast love in our heart for God, it makes a difference how we talk about each other? What about our attitudes? What about our responses? What about gossip? What about judging someone else? It certainly makes a difference in all areas of life. And I emphasize again that living for God is much, much more than just being a church member and doing certain things. But living for God is about hearts cleansed, that inside of the cup, remember, a hatred for sin, a love for righteousness, showing Christ to a dying world, taking attention off of ourselves and putting it on to Christ, a whole different perspective in life. So I wish you would know what it means to have mercy and not sacrifice. Number five. Something that's very important is the first and most important commandment. Matthew 12:29. No, I'm sorry, Mark. Mark 12. Jesus had been questioned and he answered his questions very well. And they would come to him and ask him another question to try to trip him up. But one of the scribes came and he heard the reasoning and perceived, he understood that Jesus had answered them well. He asked him, now, which is the first commandment? Which is the most important commandment, is what he was asking. Which would be on top of the list? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love God more than anything or anybody else. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He loves us. He provided redemption for us. He's sovereign. And he wants us to put him first. Love him more than anything or anybody else. And he went on to say the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love, in verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and mind and all of your strength. And the second is like, namely, thou shalt love the Lord thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. The scribe was impressed. He said, you've answered well. Truth, there is one God and there is none other but thee. I believe, and maybe I'm just kind of going back over the same trail a little bit, but I believe the biggest test of Jesus in our heart, while we're, the top's off and we're looking in and asking God to look in, His Spirit to look in, and the biggest test in our heart that probably only you'll be able to answer is when you look at your life, do you think of yourself or do you think of serving others? Followers of Jesus think about others seeing God in us. And those that live for self live by what others think of us. Those that really want to follow Christ live by what will God think about me. You understand? Does it mean it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, I'll live any old way? No, stay with me. Followers of Jesus think of others seeing God. And if you act in an ugly way, then that's not letting God be seen from your life. First and foremost, we think of what of others seeing God in us. And I think I've told you this before, but then it doesn't matter where you go. You can take a trip halfway around the world. And if you're thinking about what will God think, is it righteousness or is it sin? Will it draw me to God, take me away from God? And you're God conscious, then you'll make right decisions. But if you're living your life by what will others think of me, well, when you get away from others that you know, it's not a good path to follow at all. That's why we need to put, that's why we need to love God first and foremost, more than anything else. Number six, a willing mind, 2 Corinthians 8:12. And this has to do in relation with giving. It says, first, there must be a willing mind. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath. God wants willingness. I'll say if there's a compulsion where you just feel bowed down and you just have to do, you have to live, you have to do certain things, and it just, you remember what John said? The commandments of the Lord are not what? Grievous. If I put it into 2019 English, I would say the commandments of the Lord are not a burden. You know what that means. It's not something you grudgingly have to do because if you don't, somebody's going to get you. First, there must be a willing mind. And that's in all of serving God. He's talking here of giving. It's the most important thing, that a willing mind, a willingness to share what you have. Again, it's not selfish. And this is just the key, I think, again. Jesus didn't come to be served. If he wanted to just be served, he'd have stayed on the right hand of the Father, wouldn't he? He came to be a servant. He came to minister. Everything he did was for other people. The only time he did something for himself was when he was so tired and he just could hardly go on. And he went out to get a little bit of what we call R&R. And before he knew what was going on, there were people who had followed him and they fed another 5,000. There must be a willing mind. Share what we can, not selfish. You know, it doesn't have to do with how much we have either. Did you know poor people can be selfish? And people with a lot of money can be generous. He's talking here about a willingness in our mind to share. Somebody was just telling me recently, oh, I believe it was visiting with David this morning about when they were in Grenada, visited a man that had almost nothing, but he had a pepper plant with about half a dozen peppers, and he gave him two or three of them. Just willingness to give puts us to shame, doesn't it? Because we just, you know, we have so much and we have to protect it and we cling to it. And if somebody, I remember we had people walking through our peach orchard and just, you know, eating peaches. And I'm just human enough that I didn't like it very good. I would rather give them a peach, but just to go through and eat them, I like peaches. But we tend to be so selfish, don't we? But what's my attitude about it? Am I willing to share? I think we need that attitude of sharing. Understanding that what we have is God's. Do you believe that? Everything you own, everything you possess, everything that you call mine is really God's. And that we should be thinking about how that he wants me to use it and how can I bless others with it and to help to bring glory to his name. And the last one, very important thing is 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So the last one that I put listed as a very important thing is to be ready for judgment. Be ready for judgment. You know, now is the opportunity to get ready. And we need to do that. Then just live that way, that you are ready. A continual, ongoing, present tense. Being, a state of being, ready. I'm glad God is a God of mercy. I'm glad we don't have to look at the judgment and just fear and tremble. Oh my, what's it going to be like? I'm scared. And I want to tell you, you don't need to be. Do you know Paul talked about in Timothy about some men's sins are sent on before the judgment. And when you bow at the foot of the cross and you invite Christ into your life and you ask that His blood cleanses you from all sin, that's what happens. Your sins go before the judgment and they're judged. They're done away. And so God is a God of mercy. He's truth and He's love. He's also a God of justice. He's a holy God. He's righteous. And so we need to have, and if we use the word a fear of God, I would rather say we need a reverence and a respect for God, not the kind of fear where we shake and we get nervous. And, you know, Paul talked about we come to Him and we cry out, Abba, Abba Father, Papa Father. That sounds like friendship to me. You know, I wasn't scared to go to my dad and say, Dad, and talk to him. And I think that's the way God wants us to be. We don't need to be scared of Him unless the lid is on our heart. And there's a door in the heart that's closed. And there's something back there that's not taken care of. Then you do well to be fearful of the judgment. And to get ready. And I don't think, I believe firmly that you don't need to worry about maybe I'm not sure, but I wonder if there's something back there. I want to tell you, and you can think about it with your children, you adults anyway, that have children. You know if there's something there in your child that shouldn't be. And you would let them know that. And I believe that's the way it is with God. If there's something in your life that's not right, He'll plainly make it known to you. And if it's not something that's obvious, you can rest. God's not that kind of a God to want you to be in torture over something that you don't even know what it is. Just ask God. Look in my heart. If it's there, show me. I want it clean. And then accept. The gift of forgiveness. I think too often we come short there. He promised if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And too many times we kind of draw back instead of accepting it. I want to tell you, just take it by faith. When you've asked forgiveness for your sins, take it by faith. God, I believe You've forgiven me. Not worthy, but thank You. And rejoice in it. And then you are ready for judgment. So I would say when we're tempted to do wrong, yes, remember, one day we will stand before God. We will give account of things done in the body. It is important to be ready. We know what the Father wants, so don't transgress. Again, I'm so thankful that for us as followers of Jesus, that our sins go before to judgment. We do something that we shouldn't, and God's Spirit touches our heart We say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And it's taken care of. And we get up and we walk on with Him. Well, that's where we are. That's where we are this evening, to just ask God to look down in our hearts, make sure that everything is there. And I think that everything there is clean. And when that's the way it is, then I think there should be a big, like a well, spring up. Thanksgiving. My life is clean. Peace with God. Thank Him for forgiveness. And thank Him for the work of Christ on Calvary. That's what communion is about. In memory of. It's a memorial service. Remembering what it costs for our salvation. And when we're free inside, when the sin question is answered, when we're walking in the light, we become even more thankful for what Jesus has done for us. And in our mind, we remember back and we thank Him.